the show today, we have Kenny Mitchell Group's very own Rob Pertel and MGIC's Jeff Cooper talking about mortgage lending trends for credit unions the rest of this year and as well as 2022. What's going to happen next year? They have all the answers for you, so check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have two fine gentlemen that I will introduce right now. Right next to me is Mr. Jeff Cooper from MGIC. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for taking time out to be here. And then right below us is Mr. Rob Pertel from CUNA Mutual Group. Rob, how are you?
Great, Mike. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well, sir. Hope your summer times went really, really well. Now we're embarking in the fall as things start to cool off a little bit, but that's always exciting. So let's talk about something else exciting, mortgage lending trends. Oh my goodness, what a year it's been. And we're going to talk about that today, especially for credit unions. So Rob, I'm going to let you go first on this one. So 2021 was obviously a very good year for lending. So as credit unions are moving through their strategic planning for next year, what are you hearing from them right now? What's going on out there?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of excitement from credit union leaders, certainly on the lending side. Mm-hmm. But there is still a little bit of caution about the future. I think most credit union leaders feel that the worst of COVID may be over.
Yeah.
But there's still some concern around the different variants.
Yeah.
And they're wondering what the impacts of those variants are going to be on their members and employees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're also unsure about the new COVID mandates that are coming from the federal as well as local government. So I would say the key word I hear is flexibility.
Okay.
You know, flexibility with their staff when it comes to work and flexibility in serving their members how they wish to be served, which kind of leads to sort of, I guess, the second term I hear a lot from leaders, which is digital. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I be more relevant to my members from a digital standpoint? How can I meet them and lend with them in a digital way, which is where many members are choosing to be served at this point in time?
Yeah, that sounds like the theme for the last 18 months, actually, flexible and digital and, you know, and still some unknowns out there as well. So, yeah, thanks, Rob, for that. And Jeff, so home prices, as we've seen this year, have risen so quickly over the last 2 years, especially in the last year. Oh my gosh. So what's ahead for home price appreciation and the outlook for the single family housing supply and demand? Because this has been, you know, not only top news in our industry, but top news like on any type of news channel you go to, CNN, ABC, MSNBC, whatever, that's top news everywhere.
Yeah, well, I think to understand kind of where we're headed,
yeah,
I think we have to kind of understand where we are and how we got here. So, you know, depending on which metric you look at, home prices have gone up anywhere between 17 to 20% nationally year over year. That's a pretty dramatic run up. You know, if you look at, I'm going to pick one metric, the Federal Housing Finance Agency Home Price Index. And year over year, the lowest state increase was Alaska at 8%. The highest state increase is Idaho at 37%.
Really?
And then, of course, you have some states on the West Coast, which California in the 20%, 24% range. So everybody has felt it. No matter where you work or live, you've seen a home price surge. Now, prior to the last 12 months, and really starting back in 2013, home prices averaged, probably grew at an annualized average rate of about 5%, again, depending on the metric you're looking at.
Yeah.
So a very strong home price growth trend that we saw coming out of the Great Recession. Much of that was just home prices gaining ground lost during the Great Recession. But now we've recovered that ground. And what we saw in the last 12 months was largely exacerbated by a deep, I would say, a gap in the supply and demand. It's out, the supply and demand curve has been out of equilibrium, a lack of affordable homes coming to market. And we saw that really get exacerbated, as I said, by COVID. In fact, the purchase market almost came to a stall in the summer of 2020 before rebounding in the fall. And you really saw this in two key metrics. Mm-hmm. Housing starts, for example, came down to a very low run rate in the summer fall of 2020. And the month's supply of homes for sale, generally viewed to believe that 6 months is of supply is market equilibrium, fell to 2 months, 2 to 3 months in the fall of 2020. The good news is, and this is positive, both of those have rebounded.
Okay.
Housing starts is now on the best annualized run rate it's been on for 2021 since before the Great Recession, and month supply is getting back closer to equilibrium.
Oh, so
gone are the days we saw this summer where many markets would have multiple offers, thousands of dollars over the asking price.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're getting back more to a balanced market. Mm-hmm. And actually, this can be good for the purchase market, because when home prices are normalizing and the growth isn't rampant like it has been over the last 12 months, it makes home buying more affordable to more renters who want to enter the market. So the forecasts we see are really looking at a 5%, 4 to 5% run rate as we head into 2022 and beyond. So that's very optimistic.
Oh man, that's so good to hear, because you know, for a while there, it was crazy. I mean, I'm speaking from out in California, where it was normal to have to put an offer on a house $100,000 over asking price, and maybe you'll get it. Most likely not. So it was nuts. I mean, at least out here, it was nuts. But you talking about Idaho, where it was the highest in the nation, I'm like, that made me almost fall off my chair here. So good grief. So my next question is for both of you. So what strategies or opportunities should credit unions consider to drive their mortgage lending programs in 2022? Rob, I'll let you go first on this one.
Sure. And maybe I'll take a little bit of a curve on this and just talk about lending in general. I'll let the mortgage expert talk about mortgages. But, you know, I guess I think many people are predicting that there's going to be an increase in the interest rate market, and that this could allow for an increase in rate for auto loans.
Yeah.
It's still clear, though, that I think the margins on those loans are going to remain very slim and compressed. So we think that credit unions should be considering programs that are going to allow them to make additional non-interest income on those loans. Think of programs such as debt protection, mechanical repair coverage, gap insurance, those products that provide a much needed benefit for your members while increasing your credit union's non-interest income. I think those are going to be really valuable and necessary in the near and in the long-term future.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, interest rates aren't supposed to rise until what, late 2022, early 2023, somewhere in there. Was that the timeline that you heard, Rob?
Yeah, and I'm just hearing different things that at some of the Fed meetings that there's been some hints that it could. I know Powell was saying he wasn't going to raise interest rates until 2022. And there's been some people who now think it might actually occur at the end of this year.
Oh,
who
wow.
If we could predict, all of us would be making a lot of money.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Jeff, I'm going to pose the same question for you. So what should credit unions be doing to consider to drive their mortgage lending programs in next year?
Yeah, well, I love this question, because as we look ahead to 2022, it's really an opportunity for mortgage departments to, you know, look up, take a deep breath, roll up their sleeves, and then unleash the pent-up creativity that they have in terms of attacking the purchase market opportunity. You know, if you're a mortgage professional, you have spent the last 2+ years head down dealing with COVID policies, dealing with the refinance
boom.
You know, a record year. We saw in 2020 $4.3 trillion in mortgage originations. That was a record. This year, we're still going to see $4 trillion in mortgage originations. So it's the second biggest year. Next year, you know, the market forecasters that we observe are kind of coming in the range of 3.3, 3.4 trillion. So that's down 18, 20% or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, however, within that, the purchase market is expected to grow to its largest level since pre-Great Recession, pre-housing crisis. So it's going to be a very robust purchase market.
Okay.
And to me, I spent several years on the mortgage lending side running a mortgage lending department, and the purchase market was the most fun I had, because you started to think about, you know, in my mind, four things: your product set, what do you have, a continuum of products that are designed to meet the needs of your members.
Mm-hmm.
So starting from having a community lending product that can go out and reach first-time home buyers and underserved markets, all the way up the spectrum to a jumbo loan program. In this particular scenario, we're going to see supply continue to be constrained. You know, do I have a product that will enable me to take advantage of new construction opportunities and provide acquisition renovation financing to my members. Mm-hmm. So product is going to be really important. I also think as you look at it that, the third thing, product was my second thing. Product was first in supply, dealing with the supply constraint is the second. The third is lead generation, right? Yeah. Now is the time to reestablish all those relationships with realtors and builders, the traditional sources. But to Rob's point, it's also a time to look at a digital strategy related to lead generation and maybe to look out to working with those organizations in the community that help prepare home buyers for home ownership. They're a great pipeline. And also those organizations that can give you access to underserved and minority populations, mm-hmm. To increase your racial and ethnic diversity in yep. lending. Home buyer fairs are still a great way to go out and connect and cultivate opportunities and bring those people into your pipeline and help them manage towards their goal of home ownership. So I think the last thing is, what's your hook, right? Purchase markets are the most competitive markets. Everybody tries to get out there with some unique hook. How will you differentiate yourself? And sometimes that's product, sometimes that's financing terms. Other times it may be an operational element that you're really good at. So mm-hmm. thinking along those dimensions, I think are going to be critical in 2022.
Yeah, no doubt. And it sounds like as things balance out, those opportunities are going to percolate to the top for sure. And Creightons need to be there to pounce on them for sure. And Jeff, I'm going to stick with you on this next one as well. So talk about the mortgage rate environment. Can we expect to see higher interest rates? I think we touched on that a little bit earlier, but what are you seeing in your crystal ball?
Yeah, I think mortgage rates are behaving a little differently from, everybody looks at the CPI and they look at consumer price inflation, and that of course has gone up. And Rob alluded to rates on various types of portfolio loans, such as the auto loans. Mortgage rates really for 2022, the market forecasters that we observe are pretty much saying, they're probably going to average, the 30-year fixed rate is expected to average a hair over 3%. And it's going to finish 2021 averaging a hair under 3%. So obviously, that very favorable rate environment is been built into their estimates of the overall market and been driving what they expect to be, like I said, the largest purchase market since before the Great Recession.
Yeah. I remember when I got my first house, and this is dating me a little bit, and interest rates were like, we were tickled pink to get like 7% or 6.whatever%. I was like, oh my gosh, we scored. Now it's, 3-2. It's like, oh my gosh, it's just crazy. So I think I just dated myself though. But anyway, we'll move on. So what's the outlook for credit union losses, Jeff? Is that something we should be concerned about?
Yeah, well, on your interest rate, my first mortgage had a rate over 10%.
Oh, so my gosh, really?
Myself. any rate, So I guess we talked about a lot of market fundamentals and all of them favorable, home price growth slowing. But as you would expect, all those favorable fundamentals are expected to lead to a continued favorable loss environment for the mortgage industry. That said, I think there is something that credit unions should keep an eye on as they navigate 2022, and that is the implementation of CECL. I'm going to take a minute to explain that. It is a new accounting standard that was had its implementation delayed due to COVID, and CECL stands for the Current Expected Credit Loss standard. Mm-hmm. So basically, by January of 2023, what this means is that lenders who portfolio loans will have to, as they originate a loan, estimate the expected credit loss off of that loan and account for it in their reserves or their ALLL. And of course, the ALLL is a net reduction of net operating income, so it reduces your net income. Mm-hmm. So it's going to create income statement volatility. Another key piece of this is they have to every quarter reevaluate if their current expected credit loss is accurate and if not, restate it. Mm-hmm. So let's think about an environment where credit losses, maybe you're getting into a more adverse market condition and credit loss expectations are growing. This can lead to a lot of volatility to your income statement. we've been working with many lenders about trying to explore the credit enhancements that might be able to help them neutralize that volatility. Mm-hmm. You know, mortgage insurance can reduce that volatility. And as a result, it's not going to reduce the expected credit losses, but it'll reduce the credit losses that you need to account for in your ALLL, and it will stabilize your income statement. So we've been working with lenders who want to buy just a little bit of coverage to have that CECL benefit. Yeah. And then we've been working with lenders who want to go to deeper coverage to try to address, you know, how their capital position looks in a stress loss environment. So the market will be favorable, but anybody who's on the risk management side knows you markets can turn quickly and you always have to prepare for that rainy day.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff for sure. Rob, anything else to add on that one?
No, I think what Jeff is saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Indeed. All right, guys. Well, my last question for each of you is like anything else to wrap up? Any final words of wisdom on this stuff? Because it's ever evolving. Every day is an adventure for you guys. So, Rob, anything? I'll let you go first. Any final words of wisdom on this topic?
Yeah, I would say, you know, kind of ending with what we started with. I think there's excitement in the air about lending, whether it's auto lending or mortgages going into next year. And certainly Keene Mutual Group and I think MGIC as well want to help credit unions in any way we can help them to be even more excited about
it. Yeah, no doubt. And have that, hopefully that supply will be there. So especially even on the auto side, but we don't want to get into that right now. But Jeff, any final words here?
No, I'll just echo what Rob said. We're already seeing as market volumes have kind of slowed down a bit. We're being engaged by a number of credit unions who are looking ahead to, you know, that purchase market in 2022. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're more than happy to work with our partner CUNA Mutual and reach out to the credit unions and work with them to try to help them tap into that opportunity as we go forward.
Right on. All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm going to let you guys get back to work because you probably got a lot on your plate. So I don't want to keep you from your jobs, but we thank you for your time today and this great, great content. So appreciate the time as always. Keep up the good work and look forward to the next conversation because I'm sure it'll evolve even more so.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.